Today's daf in Masechet Arachin is daf Yud Dalet, and we are holding right at the beginning of the perek on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beit at the Halakha Mishnah. And this Mishnah, which sets the tone of the entire perek, is based again on the interrelationship of the two items within something. In the same way that we had before, Erechin is the model for no less and no more. Here we have Erechin as a model of things that go particularly lahakel and things that go particularly lahachmir. And then that becomes the model for many other similar things across the spectrum of Torah. Yesh ba'arachin lahakel v'lahachmir. There are things about Erechin that are strikingly kulot, that are less strict than you would expect, as relative to other things that are similar. And there are things that are, obviously, because of the nature of Erechin, going to end up being more strict and costing you more. The same thing is true about a Sedei Achuza, somebody who donates his Sada that he inherited as part of his Nachala in Eretz Yisrael. If he donates that to the Beit HaMikdash, which is the Perek HaBayit, as we're going to see, there's also things about the prescribed Tashlumim that the Torah insists on, which is very similar to Erechin. You pay a particular amount of money for a particular amount of area of Chamishim Shekel, Zerach Omer Seorim, over the course of a 50-year, and then that's completely prorated by size and by the amount of years, is very, very similar to Erechin, where the value of a human being is defined by his sex and his years and nothing else. So there's, as opposed to actual values, there's things that are more calm, things that are more chamur about that. The same thing is true about a shor hamu'at that was meimit an eved, as opposed to a shor hamu'at that ended up murdering a regular person. Over there, the Torah defines a particular amount that you pay of shloshim shekel. There too, whenever anything is defined, it can be defined in a way that is ekula, where the eved is worth an awful lot of money, or lahachmir, where you're paying a lot more than you otherwise would have. The same thing is true about the dinim of someone who raped or seduced, or a motzi shemra, and who spread vicious rumors about his new bride that she had had relations with someone else. There's there as well, because those are defined amounts, of knas lahakel v'lahachmir. Let's start, says the Mishnah, at the beginning. Yesh ba'arachin lakel v'lachmir. What do I mean? Ketzad. Somebody says, I want to give the value of the most beautiful person in the entire Klal Yisrael, Miss Israel, a lie. Or he takes the most awful-looking, broken-down person that he finds in jail, the Ka'ur Shabi Yisrael, and says, okay, I want to give that person's value to the Beit HaMikdash as an Erechin, not as his value on the market. He's going to pay exactly the same amount. Noten chamishim sela, assuming that that individual was male and was between the ages of 20 and 60, he pays 50 sela no matter what. Now obviously, the one who was ka'ur might have been worth one sela, the one who was a worldwide renowned model might have been worth $1 million for a show. Nonetheless, he pays exactly the same. Because if he had said, instead of using that fateful word, erech, he would have said his market value, which is damim, which we've been calling neder until now, so imamar hare damavalai, he would have paid whatever it was. Says the Gemara, yesh barachin la'akel v'lachmir, ketzad echad sheherich et zon. Now, since the Mishnah contrasts the most beautiful Israel, in other words, so it could be someone who may be worth $1 million, but who is not a Ben Yisrael, that apparently there's no erechin. So that word implies that only be Yisrael, then there's a chiyuv of erechin. But had the individual who was the object of the erechin been non-Jewish, he was an avi kochavi, there would have been no chiyuv at all. Lo, not included in the dinim of erechin. But that implies that the Mishnah is not following the sheet of Rabbi Meir, because the Tanan of Eid Kochavim, You will recall we have a machlokas. According to Rabbi Meir, an Oved Kochavim is ne'erach. He could be the object of an erechin. Somebody said his erech alai. But if the Oved Kochavim accepts upon himself the erech of someone else, he's not able to create that kind of chiyuv, because it's B'Yisrael. And he's not ma'arich, avolo ma'arich. So apparently the Mishnah that insists on Yisrael is not going alibet Rabbi Meir. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Afilu tema, you could actually work things out that the Mishnah follows the sheet of Rabbi Meir. And the truth is, hu adin afilu avik uchavim nami. We could have used a non-Jew as well as a model over here, as the object of erechin. He would still be chayev. The reason that the Mishnah said specifically Hana'a b'Yisrael, instead of saying Hana'a b'Ovdei Kochavim, or Hana'ka'ur b'Ovdei Kochavim, is because Milta, Gav Urcha Kamash from the Mishnah, wants to point to a different Chiddush, which is, as Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav pointed out, the Amar, Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav, you're not allowed, if someone is an Ovdei Kochavim, you are not allowed to say, Asur la Adam Shiomar, you're not allowed to say, how beautiful is this Oved Kochavim? Because then you are giving chen. It says, lo techanim, do not give chen to people who are Oved Avodah Zarah. And that is the reason that when we look at this mission, we think to ourselves, wow, that's weird. Why did he say be Israel? Apparently he was trying to avoid mentioning the most beautiful Kanani. We don't want to give a sense of beauty to a Miss Universe who is not a Miss Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, well, if that's the reason, you could have said the most beautiful Yisrael or the most disgusting of the Kanani, and then you wouldn't be saying anything. Okay, that's because the Mishnah is trying to create a contrast. And you create contrasts in the same set. I mean, we were talking about Bechad Umakamayr. So we're trying to contrast a set of the same thing. We're not going to make a contrast of two different things, are we? Betray Umalomayre. Really? How about the continuation of the... This Mishnah actually develops now into the entire Perek of Mishnayot, where we take each one of these categories separately. And later on, we're going to see that it says, "Hagidola shebekuhuna v'takitana shebiYisrael," to contrast the rape or seduction of different types of women that had it not been that the Torah defined a fine for knas, we would have thought it would be different. And the Mishnah contrasts the most important woman of the Shevet HaKuhuna and the least important woman of the regular Yisrael. So isn't that two different things? So they think, well, of course not. I mean, it's all... it's because of the Kedushat Kohanim, but it's all one thing. It's one set. Hatam Chad Umahu, it means the greatest of Yisrael and the lowest of Yisrael. But because Magdish Udekarchi Kohanim Tvei, the difference is the greater Kedusha that were given to the Mitzvahs and the Kedisa Lebeit HaMikdash. That is not considered to be two different sets. Or you could say, V'ibayit Ema, you could say that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, and the reason that it didn't mention Oved Kochavim is a different reason. Because I did a Kaboy L'matni, since the Mishnah wants to continue on in the next line, B'Seifa, it wants to say the dinim about a Steyachuza also is L'Hachmir, L'Hakil L'Hachmir. And that din of steyachuza, by definition, is only shayach to a Yisrael, because an Oved Kochavim doesn't have an achuza. And the meaning of achuza is not you own something in court, it's that it was given to you as a chelik of nachalat eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you're not going to find such a concept by an Oved Kochavim. Lo mashkachet la, delav b'nei achuza ninu, they don't have an achuza. Mishum ha'chi katani la b'Yisrael. That's why we use the object here, the example, as Yisrael. Okay, so that was our first category. The next Halakha Mishnah continues with the next category. The next category was B'Steyachuz. So we're claiming that a Steyachuz, a relative to real value of a field, can sometimes end being a tremendous kula for you. and you're paying much less than you otherwise would have paid, and sometimes it's a very strict halakha which forces you to pay a lot more than you otherwise would have. Ketzad, what do we mean? Well, echad hamakdish becholat hamachos, I don't care whether you buy a field that is right near the factories of the cities. It's near the actual area that people are coming into town on. There's highways right outside, and there's a lot of pollution, there's a lot of cross traffic, and that is not worth very much because of the way that things grow there, all deformed and stunted. Or echad hamakdish bepardisot Sebastia, or you go to Sebastia, where there are the most beautiful, beautiful pardesim. There's orchards there with the fruit are just fantastic. It makes absolutely no difference what location it is. It's a function of the Torah's predefined value. Noten zera chomer seorim. You pay for each area where it would have been possible to plant one kur of seorim of barley, whatever the amount of land is that will take those seedings. We'll see later on precisely how it is that you have to seed it and so on. You pay over the course of the 49 years of Yovel, 50 chamishim shekel kesef. Now, if you would have been magdish a stei mikneh as opposed to a stei achuzah, you would have paid whatever it's worth. So obviously, sometimes you're going to end up being let off the hook in the din of stei achuzah because you're paying a lot less than you would pay on the open market. Maybe this thing is worth $500,000 per zerach omer zarin. Or, on the other hand, it may be awful, and you'd be paying a lot less on the open market. Maybe it's worth 10 shekel for a zerach omer zarin. Rabbi Eliezer omer, echad stei mikneh ve'echad stei achuzah. The halacha is there's really no difference about how much you pay. There's still the din of 50 shekel over the 49 years per zerach omer seorim area, let's go per seorim acre. The only difference between the two, ma bein stei achuzah v'stei mikneh, the only difference is that by stei achuzah, if you're being poda, you're the same guy who gave the field to Hegdesh. When you go to Hegdesh to be poda the field from Hegdesh, you pay an additional chomesh as the owner. So, hu notin chomesh. Because the Torah adds an additional chiyah for a balim, tosif chamishito alav. Whereas by stei achuzah, if you're coming to be poda it, then eino noten chomesh, you do not pay that additional 20%. It's actually, the chomesh is actually 25% because it's a chomesh of the total. So, which is 25% of the original becomes 20% of the final amount. But that's the difference. Omer Rav Huna, says the Gemara, Rav Huna says that if you were magdish, a stei achuzah that's filled with trees, when you're being poda, the amount that the Torah provides that you need to pay, this is for zerach omer seorim, does not include the trees. That includes the ground. But now you're going to have to separately be poda, the ilanot b'shovyan. So first you pay a hegdish for what those trees would cost. So let's say if you want to buy the rights to trees that are in the ground, you're going to pay what those rights are, and then you buy the karka back at the rate of Beit Zerach Omer Seorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Which means, says the Gemara, that according to Rav Huna, when a person is magdish something, he, even though he didn't say so, he intends to do it with an ayin yafa. He's feeling very generous. And that means that Rav Huna holds alma kasavar, Rav Huna, that an Adam is Magdish ba'ayin yafa Magdish, and therefore he meant, when he gave this to Hegdesh, not, even though he said my Sada, not just the earth of the Sada, but actually the property with all that it contains. And since the Torah never defined anything about how to be poda separately the property, the contents of a stei achuzah, he pays the normal value. Eitvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman points from our Mishnah to Rav Huna that this doesn't seem to be right. Because it says in the Mishnah, in order to contrast where it's lahaka, where it's lahachmer, ואחד המקדיש בחולת המחוז, ואחד המקדיש בפרדסות סבסטיאן, those Sebastian orchards are certainly full of trees, and it says you pay the same amount. Notain בית זרע חומר סרן בחמישים שקל כסף, period. Now, an orchard's got to have trees in it, right? And the Mishnah here seems to be ignoring the issue completely. Marley answers, Ravuna Rav Nachman, that's being a little bit too literal, don't you think? I mean, when it says that we're contrasting the Sada, when we talk about the orchards of Sebastia, we are referring to that which would be suitable to plant as the orchards of Sada. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? That the property is worth more. Who cares what's in it? So all the Mishnah meant was, Ru'uyeh lepardesiot ka'amina, that which could be planted as an orchard. Ask Rav Nachman to Ravuna, well, okay, explain the following braita to me, okay? Eitve. The Pasuk says that you have a beit zera chomer seorim chamishim shekel. Now, the braita explains, ein li ela beit zera, I would say that you only pay tagdash this chamishim shekel, where we're coming to something which is suitable for planting. So it's a beit zera. But how about if it's already filled with plants? A sada that is full of gifanim, so it's full of vines, very valuable. It's a sada that is full of kanim. It's a sada, so it's full of bamboo. It's a sada that's full of trees. Sada ilanot. How do we know that it's all the same? And you pay the zerach of the beit saorim, even though you'd say, well, who cares about saorim? This is an apple orchard. How do I know that it's always estimated exactly the same way? Talmud lomar, im misdeach uzato yagdish, mikom makom. That word, the unnecessary stay, you could have just said imach uzato magdish. So that teaches us, sadeh mikom makom. I don't care what this sadeh is full of, you pay chamishim shekel kesef. So you see over here, beferush, that even where the sadeh is filled with varying types of plants, of completely different levels of value, you pay exactly the same thing. According to you, it's very different. Ah, come on, says Ravuna, why is that anymore? It's just look, the Torah, the Braita is saying, from the Torah, the mashma'ut of utilizing the value system of a certain amount of barley seed, you might think that isn't the way to estimate the ground acreage of an orchard as barley acreage. That's all it's saying, because it's not ro'ui for that purpose. It's being used as a vineyard. Why use a strange measurement of barley acreage? That's all that the Mishnah, that the Braita is coming to say. So what it means is, hachinami, we're talking about how do I evaluate the property, not the contents. So it means, of course you'd have to be poder, whatever is in it. We're not coming to tell you something that's obvious to a five-year-old. You pay whatever the difference is between reeds and between fine vines, obviously. But now we're talking about the karka. The karka, choseru podeh, you pay the value according to barley acreage. Okay, says Rav Nachman, how about this? Eitvet. Yigdish shilosha ilanot. Suppose you have a steachuza, and out of which you choose, and in your steachuza, you have beautiful trees planted. And these trees are planted in a way that defines an orchard, so that you have 10 trees per each beit sa'a. You choose 3 out of those 10 trees, and you say, I want to give these 3 to Hegdash. So your magdish losha ilanot mi mata asra la beit sa'a, where there is sufficient spread between the trees that you could have 10 of them in each sa'a. So the din is that in such a case, because 3 trees of this type are actually in need of the entire area of the ground to support them, so then we say that even though you didn't mention the karka, you only said these trees, by definition, since these trees require that precise amount of karka, because they're planted asara lebeit sa'ah, then you were magdish the karka as well, and any small saplings that have sprung out, ve'ete ilanot, shebenehem, it's all part of the same deal. And there were your poda, the sadeh, and the ilanot. You pay the same thing you otherwise would have, which is beit zera chomer se'orim b'chamishim shekel kesef. On the other hand, if the trees were planted closer together than that, where the land is not going to be able to support them, and in the end, those trees are not going to survive, or if the trees are planted further apart, yeter akin, or if you didn't give them all at one time to Hegdash, you were magdish them, bezachar zeh, so that the Kedusha was not defined by the number of trees at any point, at that time, harezeh lo hikdish, lo ata karkav, lo ata ilanot shebineihem, there you actually are poda what the value of such a tree would be on the open market, the rights to a tree in a field. And that's it. V'lo od, ela afilo yikdish ilonotav, ve'acharkach yikdish karka. Not only that, in a case where the ilonot that you were makdish without karka, but even where you did this, you were makdish the ilonot, and then separately you were makdish the ground, because you were magdish ilanot in a way that didn't include the ground because they were too sparsely planted or too densely planted. The din is that kishu podeh in such a case, and here is a killer thrust of Rav Nachman to Rav Huna, the din is in such a case you have to be podeh first the ilanot with their real value, so podina to ilanot b'shavehin, and then you turn around and you do the rest v'chozer v'podeh the value of the land, the karka, at the standard rate of Beit Zera Chomer Se'orim b'chamishim shekel kesef. But what does that show you? That if you were makdish the karka b'neihem initially, that you don't pay anything for the ilanot, okay? Now don't try to tell me the same answer you've been giving me the whole time, that over here it means that you separately are put in the ilanot, because that's exactly what we're coming to contrast. The case in the Sefer, v'chitei ma'akanami podeh, v'chozeru podeh, no, because that's the point that is being made in the last case over here, where you said b'feirush that the karka is also kodesh. If the seifa is contrasting podeh v'chozer v'podeh to the resha, so obviously in the resha, where it was all at one time, you're not podeh v'chozer v'podeh. Exactly the opposite of what you, Rav Huna, are claiming. Ooh, this is a killer. Okay. Answers the Gemara for Rav Huna. You know what? You're right. But it's still not a problem, because we could say that it's a machloket tana'im. So what you really had to have answered in the first place, instead of trying make everything work out according to the Shita, is to recognize that where we find a departure from Rav Huna's rule, it's going aliba the Rabbi Shimon. Eloha money, this particular bright is Rabbi Shimon the Omar. Ha-magdish ba'ayin ra'a-magdish. There is definitely a shita that somebody who gives something to Hegdash is not in a generous mood. Where do we see that? The Omar magdish, the Tanya ha-magdish et ha-sadeh, higdish et kula. Somebody gives a field, whatever is in the field is included. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no way. Lo higdish, the only time that a tree would be included in a field would be in specific cases where the field contains a charuv, which is murkav, or a sycamore, where there is a sadan. Now over there, the way that they used to have sustainable tree farming was that they would use these two particular types, carob and sycamore, to actually leave the tree to grow tremendously for many, many decades in the ground, and they would keep harvesting its lumber. So over there, that piece is considered to be part of the ground. But normally, if you're podeh, if you are magdish, you wouldn't even be thinking about giving over the trees. Says the Gemara, well, wait a minute, if we're going aliba Rabbi Shimon, how do you explain the fact that the braita that we just quoted ends with the following, Eima Seifa. V'lo od, ela afilo higdish ilonotav, v'acharka higdish karka, kishu podeh podeh ilanot b'shaveyem, v'chozeru podeh beit zera chomer se'orim b'chamishim shekel kesef, as we just said. But if it's going aliba the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, then even though at the time of Hegdash, you were magdish the ilanot, and then you were magdish the karka, you should go at the time of the pidyon and look at what the situation is now, because that's Rabbi Shimon Shita, as I'm going to show you in a minute. Lezel batar pidyon, let us follow the rules of Rabbi Shimon, that you always look at the situation at the time that you're coming to buy it back from Hegdash. And since at that time the Ilanot and the Karka are both Kodesh, then the Ilanot should be automatically included in the Karka, because that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Liparko agavarayu, let the pidyon be chal on the Ilanot, agav the Karka, because Hashamini lelu Rabbi Shimon, we find that Rabbi Shimon Shita is in this issue, the Azel Batar Pidyon, that's how we do it. The Tanya, Minai in the Lokeach Sademi Avivi Grisha. How do we know that if a son buys a field from his father, so at the time that he bought it, it's considered to be a stay mecher. He hasn't inherited this field. He happened to be that the seller was his own father, and he's magdish it to hegdish. And at that time, it's a regular stay mikna. But then, before he had a chance to buy it back, his father died. V'acharkach mit aviv. How do we know that the dinim of how it is that he pays for buying it back of hegdish are suddenly now the dinim of stay achuza, because that's what it is now? If he wants to be poted, he could put it at the standard amount that the Torah defined for Steachuza, Chamishim Shekel Kesef, for Zerach Lomer Sorim over 49 years. Talmud Lomar, that's why it says, Imet Stei Miknato Asher Lomi Steachuzato. Now, surely nothing could be more redundant than saying Asher Lomi Steachuzato. A Stei Miknato is a field that he bought. So by definition, it's not a field that he inherits. So why do we have to say, if it's a field that he bought, which is not from a field that he inherits? Isn't that a little ridiculous? So it's clear. Ah, it's brilliant. It's telling me that if it's a stay mikna, that could never become a stay akuza. That's the point. A sadesha inaru uyaliot stay akuza. But this field, yatztazu, which is ru'uya lihiyot stay akuza at that time, then it is treated like a stei achuza if his father died. So say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir disagrees, and he says, Minayin lokeach sadeh mi aviv, and then his father died before he was magdashit. So there, in a sense, it's only a stei mikneh, because he had taken control of the property by buying it. It happened to be that after he bought it, he inherited it anyway. I'm sure he's kicking himself. But meanwhile, because now he's going to have all that money that he paid is going to be part of the inheritance that his father already blew in Vegas. But anyway, so now there I would have thought, if it hadn't said this pasuk asher lo misteachuzato, I would have thought that since at the time that he bought it, it was a stay mikna, that's how we should treat it. How do we know that since at the time that he was magdashit, not the time that he was podait, says Rabbi Meir, the time that he was magdashit, he had already inherited it. How do we know that we give it the din of a stei achuza? Talmud lomar, im et stei miknato asher lo mistei achuzato. So why do we add that obvious piece, asher lo mistei achuza, to tell me a soda that is not currently a stei achuza? Yotztaz. So, this case at the time that you were magdashit is currently a stei achuza. So, what do you see? That what are they arguing in? In other words, that Ilu Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, it means that a field that you bought and gave to Hegdash as a stei mikna is defined by the moment that you're poded. So, what are they saying? That if you were bought the field and then only afterwards, a few, first you were magdashit, and only afterwards, meitav, akakak, meitav, the din is that it goes, according to that moment, it's a stei achuza. Now, why is that? If it's because the pasuk says, ashalom is stei achuzato, I mean, the pasuk, you have no right to jump two steps to say, you were already magdashit, you could have said that the pasuk means like Rabbi Meir, right? The Krov would only have told us the first step, which is Rabbi Meir, that if you were magdashit after you bought it, and when you were magdashit, it was a stei achuza. So what right did Rabbi Shimon have to say, no, it means even if it became yours after your Magdashit at the time of Pidyon. That obviously is a Svara that he has in general, because the din is, according to him, the Mishum does about their Pidyon. You always look at the status of the thing at the time that you're buying it back from Hegdash. So if that's the case, don't try to tell me that the previous Braita was going according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that a Magdish is Magdish Ba'ayin Ra'ah. Even if he is, we'd have to look at things as they are at the time of the actual Pidyon. And at the time of the actual Pidyon, these trees are bottled to the ground in which they're planted. And therefore, in being paid to the ground, you ought to be able to be paid to the trees right along with them. Omrim Nachum Ari Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon are not, as you think, basing the way they learned this pasuk on their logic about going according to the pidyon. It's because they're looking at an additional diyuk and a pasuk, which Rabbi Meir is not, and that is, Kra Ashkechu V'Darosh, they found a pasuk to tell them this din, because what they said was that in Cain, if the pasuk is only coming to tell me the din of Rabbi Meir, where you were first inherited it after the father died, and only then were Magdashit, so then Lichtov Rachman. Now, all the Torah would have had to say is, Im et stei miknato asher lo achuzata. You have a stei mikna that didn't become a stei achuzah. That's all you need to say. Why does the pasuk say, asher lo mi stei achuzato? That is completely extra, and Rabbi Meir hasn't explained it. Therefore, what it's saying is, it has to be a field which, at the time that your magdish is not a field that could be included ultimately in the set of stei achuzah, which means it has to be a sort of shena ruuya liot stei achuzah. I don't give a hang at what point it becomes a stei achuzah, but it has nothing to do with a general principle of looking at the time of the pidyon and making that the definitive moment. Omer of Papa Yigdish Terashim, you could be magdish a field that is filled with stones all over it. Now, what about then? You can't really plant it at all. It's not an agricultural field. It's basically a quarry. In that case, you do not pay the value that the Torah defined. You're poda the actual market value. Podan b'shavyan. Why? My time. Because the Torah said Beit Zera, it has to be capable of being planted. We're saying the way that we estimate it is barley acreage. How is this barley acreage? Ani lav b'nei zrianinu. So even though barley acreage would be applied even to a vineyard, but that's because theoretically it's capable of planting. But if it's not capable of planting on a non-agricultural plot, on a parking lot, how are we going to call it barley acreage? Logo Alan, and these are not Bnei Zriah, and therefore, if you weren't Goel from Hegdash, then it also doesn't have the other den of a Stei Achuzah, which is if you were not Goel at Miad Hegdash, so you would have thought it doesn't have the other den of Stei Achuzah, which is that it doesn't go out in Yovel, it goes back to the owner. So if somebody else bought it from Hegdash, it should go back home. Yotzin biyovel, and it's given to the Kohanim, my taima, because in that it is like a stei achuzah, because it says, v'haya ha-sadeh b'tzeto biyovel amarachmana, that the sadeh is still whatever it is, koldahu. That extra word sadeh is marba, whatever that field is. Now, machar terashim, if you sell a stei achuzah, normally, the din is that when you sell a field, it goes according to Mispar Shnei Tvuot, because that's the Lashon of the Pasuk, the number of years of agriculture, Achnat Hayovel. So over there, you need to leave it in the hands of the buyer a minimum of 2 years. But if it's a parking lot, essentially, in other words, it does not have any agricultural capabilities, then you can buy it back even in less than 2 years. Pachot Mishtei Shanim, my time, huh? Because the only reason that normally you have to leave it a minimum of 2 years is because the Torah writes, Bispar Shnei Tvuot, Amar Rachmana. And that, obviously, if it's talking about Tvuot, is only a field that is capable of Tvuot. So, Bimispar Shanim, it's talking specifically about Bispar Shnei Tvuot. V'aylav b'nei Tvuanin. Where do you get Tvuah here? It's a parking lot. And therefore, it doesn't have that limitation. If you were not goel from the mocher, then it is chozeret lebaalim miyovel, just like a sale of a steachuza, my time, huh? Vishav lachuzato amrachmana. Because there the Torah couldn't care less. It doesn't even call it a soda. It just says you go back to whatever you inherited. You inherited a parking lot. That's your achuza. Vainami achuza. Bottom line is, it is an achuza. Of course, talking about a parking lot, we don't mean a field that you tarred over. We mean a field that's not ra'ui to be used for agriculture. How about if you were magish grown trees? Ilanot. So they're growing in a stei achuza, but you didn't mention the karka. So then, you pay whatever the market value is on the trees, because the Torah only talked about a stei achuza in terms of the actual real estate. Beit zera amarachmana, which is the house, that which contains it, and not ilanot. So the ilanot, you're poded for regular value. And there, of course, if lo ga'alan, you would be absolutely convinced that they are the equivalent of selling a toaster, like we thought before. And the truth is that you'd be right, because if you're not goel them until the Yovel, then they don't go out from Hekdesh to go to the Kohanim. Why not? Because they're not a Sadeh. And there, in terms of the Vahaya HaSadeh B'tzeito B'Yovel L'Kohen Tia Achuzato, is not a din in Vahaya Achuzato. It's a din Vahaya HaSadeh Omer Achmana. And in this case, velo ilanot. We're not talking about the ilanot. We're talking about dafka field. Now, how about if you sell ilanot, machar ilanot that are growing in a stei achuza, not the karka? So there, the halacha is that ein nigalin pachot mishtei shanim. The limitations on the sale time, that it's a minimum of 2 years that you can't buy it back, that actually does apply. Why? Because there are tvuot, shnei tvuot amarachmana. And the ilanot bring you a production year of tvuah, their agricultural productions, and einami tvuot dinu. But lo galan, if you didn't buy them back, the halacha over there is that you do not get those ilanot back in Yovel. So in chazert lebalim biyovel, my taima viyatsa biyovel v'shavla achuzato. And an achuza, trees are not an achuza, amarachmana. Velo ilanot. So we have here two fascinatingly contrasting halachas, in which out of the two dinim of stei achuza, the one in which you pay the value as is assigned by the Torah instead of market value, the other as to the disposition of the achuza after the time of the yovel, or it's a mecher, the din of the mecher stei achuza, which is a limitation of the number of years you must leave it in the hands of the buyer, or the din of whether it returns to the owner as an achuza, we can contrast in opposing ways, we can contrast those two dinim depending on what the case was, where it has one din of stei achuza and not the other, in both directions. Omar ma. Okay, now, Rav Papa just said that if you were magdish ilanot growing in a stei achuza, not the karka, you pay the value of the ilanot, but I thought, why is that? Amai, v'ligdosh agav ar ayu, v'lifraku agav ar ayu. Why don't we say that the karka automatically becomes kodesh, and the pidyon, therefore, would be on the karka, and as we said before, you should be able to be poda the karka, and automatically the ilanot will be padui, and you should be utilizing the standard fee of chamishim shekel kesed, and if you were not goel them, then you should have the standard din. We should give them the din of a stei achuza legabe yovel. V'chitem, and if it was sold, you should be able to get it back. V'chitem, and maybe you'll tell me ilanot agdish ara lo agdish. He said specifically, I'm giving only the trees and not the land. Didn't the Nahardoi paskin that man demazvad le'dikla l'chayr, if you sell a palm tree to a friend, then this sale was meant to include not the wood of the palm tree, but the ground directly beneath the palm tree down to the core of the earth, Mishipulavat Oma. So if that's the case, why is the Karkadat Kodesh? Answers the Gemara, we explained that, for heaven's sakes, that the case of the Dardoy is only where, Lav mi itmar Allah, beba machmat ta'ana, where the guy has a basis to that demand. So the Kones says, you wrote in a contract that you sold me the tree Mishipula va'at tahoma. Not stam that he's saying that, he's, and that you never objected, and I've been here for 3 years. That's a din of what it, which is called a ta'ana in court for establishing a chazok over the case of 3 years. It has absolutely nothing to do with the stam assumption of what a sale or a hegdish means. So please, you're bringing in something that's completely irrelevant. Then we said, estay mikneh, no ten shovyo, that we, Rabbi Lezer said before, whether it's estay mikneh, estay achuza, that it's not no ten shovyo. You pay the same amount, chamishim shekel. Wow, that is a tremendous chiddush. Okay, where do we get that from? This machlokus about whether a estay mikneh might also be included in the payment schedule of estay achuza. Tana Rabbanan. It says by the dinim of the opinion of a stay mikna, b'michsat ha'erkecha. So, michsat ha'erkecha, what does that mean? The coverage of the value. What does that word coverage mean? Ma balilmot. L'fishinemar, well, since we finished speaking about the din of a stay achuza, that there's a standard amount, which is zerach horma ha'sa'orim v'chavishim shekel kesev, the Torah wants to make clear that you might have thought that a stay mikne is the same thing an af stay mikne, okay? And which should be paid at bechamishim shekel kesed. Talmud lomar, therefore, it says in the pasuk, oh no, you got to cover the whole darn thing, michsat, meaning that you have to cover its real value. Now, same word that we would use in English. I'll cover that, meaning I'll take care of all of the value. Michsat, amazing, the way that the two languages focused on that psychology. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, and here is where Rebbe Eliezer disagrees. He says, look, we find that by estay mikneh, it says, v'chishav lo hakohen. And by estay achuza, it uses exactly the same words, v'chishav lo hakohen. Now, just like by estay achuza, it is defined, that chishav is defined as a simple calculation, meaning it goes according to a davar katsuv. Then the use of the word v'chishav hakohen by estay mikneh is also a simple calculation, not a complex assessment. So, afkan davar katsuf, that's what it means. Iboilo. Now, in the yeshiva, they were wondering what that is. That Rabbanan itlohu gzera shava, is it that the Rabbanan who argue and Rebbe Eliezer agree that the Torah, yes, has compared v'chishav v'chishav. And they say, but what is that coming to teach me? That's coming to teach me the din that the owner has to add a chomesh, that the same way that you add a chomesh when you put a stay achuza, you're mosif that 25%, which becomes 20% of the total. So too, if you're put a stay mikna from hegdish, you have to pay that additional chomesh. Or perhaps they were never makabel that gzereshava at all, and maybe they're on old of chomesh. Oh, Dilma, let look gzereshava for anything. And they don't compare it for the din of chomesh either. Omar Rava, I would say, that it's reasonable to assume that they do not hold of it. Mistavra letlu, they simply do not have a kabbalah of that gzera shava. And the svara that they're holding here is that midagali rachmana chomesh gabi stei achuza, that since the Torah specifically mentioned the din of adding the chomesh by the din of stei achuza, and it specifically mentioned the din when somebody is magdish's home, and he's coming to be pota ed. We'll see those are special halachas of owning as the equivalent of achuza home. So it becomes shnei ktuvim abayim ke'echad. V'chol shnei ktuvim abayim ke'echad, if the Torah needed to repeat the din of a chomesh, we do not use a model that any owner who comes to be pota something is always going to add a chomesh. So ein malamdim, and therefore we cannot learn out stay mikna from stay achuza. Now, what about Lamanda Omar? Even the Mandi Omar that Shnei Ktuvim Ba'im Ke'echad are malamdim, this case would not be that we could use it as a model. Why? Because we have another case where the Torah spoke about a chomesh, and that is by maaser. Somebody's coming to be put in maaser sheni. So mida gali rachmana chomesh be maaser. The din over there is that there's also, if the Baalim comes to be poda, the value of his maaser to take it up to Yerushalayim. So there, bivhima Torah, and it's somebody who is coming to be poda an animal from Hegdesh, where there was a mum, bivhima tmea, or where he's coming to be poda from Bedek HaBayit, an animal that he had given to the Bedek HaBayit, that there's a chomesh. So we've got an awful lot of repetitions. Even the Man Yomer Old Shneiktuvim Abayim Kechad Ein Melamdim agrees that if you got 3, 4, and 5, that Ein Melamdim. So have it like two of them. We have lots of unnecessary additional examples. And therefore, the only explanation is the Torah doesn't want to use this as a model. So have it like two of them. There's tons. And therefore, Ein Melamdim. Tanya Kavati de Rava. And indeed, we learned that in a braita that a poros te mikne is not motziv chomesh, but it's actually lav mitame. It's not because of the logic that we just learned, that it's because chomesh is mentioned so many times you can't learn out from it. The braita gives a different reason, and that is, Tanya, b'michsata erkecha, covering it over with its value. Now, value shouldn't have been used in the word erech, because erech always means the opposite of value. It means pre-assigned value. Why then did the Torah insist on calling a market value an erechin? Must be because he kisho hakatuv la'erechin. Sedei mikna, the Torah is comparing to the halach of erechin. And just like if somebody accepts an erechin, he says erechi alai, or Erech Ploni Alai, the din is that he is never going to be Mosif Chomish on his own Erech, because we'll call him the Balaam of the Erech. So too, if he's Poda Ste Mikna, even though it was his, a no Mosif Chomish, there is no din of Tosefet Chomish on his Pidyon whatsoever.